Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can walk in newness of life, knowing that our sins are forgiven. And Lord, now as we open your holy word, thank you for preserving it for us, that we might know about you, about your Son, and how to live a Christian life that pleases you. And I pray now that every aspect of every class in this campus today would glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, would lift up the name of God, and all the teachers to be able to die to self. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Back in Exodus this morning, Exodus 17 today. In Exodus 17, as the children of Israel move towards Mount Sinai, they're in the wilderness of sin, which is the wilderness preceding Mount Sinai. As they're in this wilderness and they're marching following the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, as they're marching in an organized manner to get to Mount Sinai where God is leading them, God directs them into difficult situations. He purposely directs them into trying situations where it's going to, if they come through it correctly, build their faith and build their character. And the same with us today as Christians, God directs us and leads us into situations and in places and circumstances that are meant to build our faith and build our character in the Lord. You know, someone has said life's journey involves much more than merely reaching a destination. Heaven is our destination. In the presence of the Lord is our destination. But life is much more than just reaching heaven. We are to have faith in this life and a Christian character in this life that honors the Lord. We're not to do it to puff up ourselves, but we're to do that to have a life of faith and a life of character and a life of trying to die to self so that we glorify God. If we're not growing in faith, if we're not growing in faith and the knowledge of God, if we are not growing in godly character, if we're not trying to live a life that pleases the Lord, then we're wasting all the opportunities the Lord puts before us. And He does put us in opportunity. I had an opportunity last night. I didn't have a track in my pocket, and I had an opportunity to give a mom and a young girl a Christmas track, and I had left them. And that was a wasted opportunity. I should always have a gospel literature in our pocket ready to give, because God is going to put us in those circumstances throughout our day, and we must be prepared. Israel, at this moment in their lives, had a long way to go before they could qualify as a godly nation. So far, every new trial they experienced brought out the worst in them. They just began to complain. They just began to murmur. They just came to God's man and said, "What are you doing? You're not God's man. You're not leading us the right way." And really, we've seen they are complaining against God. You know, we've all heard the phrase, "Where God leads, He provides." That's a biblical principle. All of us have been brought to or placed in situations, though, that requires us to trust the Lord. How many of us can honestly say that when we've been placed in these situations or circumstances, we've always, always truly trusted by faith? That's not easy to do. We are to trust in faith through the provision of God, through the providence of God, through His strong hand. We are to trust in the Lord. And the Old Testament and the New Testament show us examples of human beings that lived on this earth that were just like you and I, that struggled with this, as well as succeeded in trusting the Lord. Some tried to do things through the arm of their flesh, through the knowledge of their mind, through their cunningness. And again, they failed. They might have looked humanly, outwardly, as they succeeded, but glorifying God, they failed. For that's when God brings us to these situations, He wants us to trust Him so that He can receive the glory. At this chapter, in chapter 17, Jehovah God has now led the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, to Rephidim. It means a resting place. They have brought them through the wilderness of sin, and they're right on the border of the Mount of Sinai. They can see it in the not too far distance. And as God has brought them through difficult circumstances and difficult situations, and through His mercy and through His grace, He has provided for them and shown Himself real to them, yet they still haven't learned the lesson that God is there with them all the time. And they could see the presence of God through the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. On the other hand, we can't see with our visible eyes the presence of God, but we can feel Him. We can feel the Holy Spirit's presence, His guiding, His direction. Believers today are no different from the Old Testament saints or the New Testament saints in that we are to trust the Lord. We are to walk by faith. We face tests daily of our faith, so that we are to grow in those tests, so that we will glorify the Lord through the victory. How often do we stumble? How often are we just like the children of Israel here in chapter 17 and this example of the testing of their faith? In chapter 17 and verse 1, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeyings, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' And Moses said unto them, 'Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?' And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, 'Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?' And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, 'What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me.'" The anger of the children of Israel has risen to the point where they're ready to stone their leader, their God-appointed leader. They are trusting not in the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. They're not trusting in Jehovah God. They're looking at the circumstances of life that's surrounding them. And they're looking to one man to try to blame, a scapegoat, if you will. And it's Moses. You know, the children of Israel have seen the miraculous power of God just in this month that they have been traveling. They have seen the deliverance of God from the plagues upon Egypt. They have witnessed the power and the providential hand of God at the Red Sea crossing. They have witnessed God's provision for their physical needs through the pillar of cloud, which shaded them during the day from the hot desert sun, and the pillar of fire at night, which gave them warmth in the cold desert at night. They have seen God make bitter water sweet through just a tree. And the manna that fell from heaven, God provided for them sustenance as well as the quail. Every point where God stops, the pillar of cloud stopped or the pillar of fire stopped day or night, wherever it stopped, that was where they were to camp. God knew where they were going to stop. God knew each stopping point along the journey. So God knew what was there before they got there. God knew their needs before they knew they needed it. Yet, He still allowed them to be tested, to grow their faith, and to learn to trust Him. God already knows what's going to happen to us today, tomorrow, next week, next year. He already knows those places He is going to bring us to. He already knows what's there waiting on us. And He is trying to build our faith along the journey so when we get to that stopping point, we're ready to face it in Him. through the witness of seeing the power and the provision of God, we would think that their faith would grow to the point where they would trust the hand of God, wouldn't we? We've seen the plagues of Egypt. We've seen the Red Sea crossing. We've seen the bitter waters made sweet. We've seen manna fall from heaven each morning. We've seen the quail come through the camp. We would think that their faith has reached a point where they are praising the Lord for just the opportunity to see His hand work again. And as we read chapter after chapter, verse after verse in this book of Exodus, we see and think to ourselves, what's wrong with them? Why don't they learn these lessons? Have we learned the lessons? How are we still murmuring against God? Are we still complaining? Are we still looking for a scapegoat? Are we still looking for a leader that God's put in front of us to accuse and point blame at? We're really blaming God. We're really fussing and murmuring and complaining to God. So the children of Israel hadn't learned that lesson, but we have to look at ourselves. Have we learned the lesson as well? We're no better than they are. In Exodus 17, the children of Israel have left the oasis of Elim with the 70 palm trees and the 12 wells of clear water. They've left that behind. And they're now camped in a place that has no water. With each trial of faith that God brings our way, there's going to be some questions that will arise in our minds. Whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance, whatever the test is, there's always these questions that are going to come to mind. What, where, why, and how? What am I going to do? Where is God? Where am I going to find the resources to get through this? Why has God brought me here? Or simply, why God? And how am I going to make it? Who brought you there? God. Did He already know where you were going to be? Yes. Did He already know what was there waiting on you? Yes. Then why can't we trust God? Simply trust God. The answers to these questions are all the same answer. Have faith in God. Look with me in Psalm 46. In the 46 Psalms. You know, the Bible has the answer for every question we have. We just have to look for it. Psalm 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge. Who's our refuge? God. Who are we supposed to run to when we're in trouble? God, who is our strength. God is our refuge and He's our strength. So if we're weak, we need to go to Him for strength. A very present help in trouble. Do any of us have trouble or is it just me? I feel like I'm in trouble every day. Well, if we're in trouble, then who are we supposed to go to? God, because He is a present help. He's right there waiting to help us. He's just waiting for us to ask, Lord, help me. I need Your refuge. I need Your strength. Then look at Psalm 145 and verse 18. The Word of God says, Psalm 145 and verse 18, the Lord is nigh. That means He is as close as He can get. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth and in faith, we could add. If we call upon the Lord, He's there for us, His children. You know, think back to times of pain in your life as a child. We would run to our moms or our dads, and they'd always just welcome us in. You just run and they just grab you and hold you for a minute. That's what God wants to do. He wants you to run to Him in your times of trouble so He can just put His arms around you as your refuge and as your strength. You know, you're hugging, you're being hugged by, I'd go to my dad and My dad would hug me and I could just feel the strength in my father. And I knew I was safe. I knew I was protected. That's what our Heavenly Father wants to do for us. We just have to run to Him when we're in those places of distress. So as we go back to Exodus 17 and we look at this closely, just three verses today. The chapter opens with the children of Israel entering Rephidim and pitching their tents, because that's where the pillar of cloud, if it was daytime, or the pillar of fire at night, would have stopped. The trumpets would have blown and they would have set up camp a proper way. There was a certain way the tribes were to camp. But there was an immediate problem. As they were pitching their tents, there was no water. There was no water for the people to drink. So there was a dilemma immediately in verse 1. And all the congregation, not a few, but all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin, and after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. There was an immediate dilemma. There's no water. We must have water. We've marched all day camping here. We need water. Well, who's led you here? God, by the pillar of cloud and fire. Do you not think that God already knew there was no water in Rephidim? Of course He knew. You know, the children of Israel failed this test back in Exodus 15, verses 23 through 24, a little different circumstance. They had marched 3 days' journey and finally saw water, and they couldn't drink the water because it was bitter. They already had a similar test of faith, and they failed it. So guess what? They had to do it again. If we have a test of our faith in this journey and we fail it by not going through God's strength and through God's might and through God's purpose and through His will, if we try to do it in our own strength and our own power and our own might, we're going to have to face that test again. I've faced many tests over and over again until I get this hard head, okay, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Stop trying to figure your way out of this problem. Stop trying to muscle your way or scheme your way out of this problem. Just trust me is what God wants us to do. I don't like to face tests over to you, because they seem to get harder if you have to face them again and again. Do you think that God already knew there was no water for the people to drink? Absolutely He knew that. The dilemma was a test from God. They have seen His power. They have seen His provision over and over and over again the last month. Will they call out by faith to the one who can supply their need? No. They're going to fail again. Guess what? There's going to be another water test in the future on this journey. Will they call out by faith to the one that can supply this need? No. They accuse Moses. They murmur and complain to God's chosen leader. We go to verse 2, and wherefore the people did chide with Moses. They said, well, there's the man. It's his fault. And said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? He said, I can't provide you water. So their dilemma is in verse 1. You come to verse 2, and it's already demands of the people. Give us water, Moses. Not to God, but to Moses. And we know Moses could not have provided this water for them. And even though the children of Israel had seen the power of God, they still had a tendency to trust in the frailty of man over the omnipotence of God. Do we do that? Do we look for man to help us in a difficult situation, in a dilemma? Do we demand man's help? Or do we trust in the omnipotence of God? All-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present. He's there, it says in Psalms, He is nigh to us that call upon Him. Verse 3 shows the distrust of God's people. And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" Look down to verse 7. This is after the miracle. "And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, 'Is the Lord among us or not?'" Now, they've come to a difficult place. They have come to what I would call a watershed moment in their lives. Is God with us? Is He here among us or not? They can see the pillar. It's right there in the center of the camp. And as they have journeyed over this month and God has provided for them, just that morning when they began their journey, guess what was on the dew? The manna. God had already provided for them food for that day. And yet they're questioning, is God among us or not? Unfortunately, we say the same thing. Maybe not in those words. We come to a place that is so difficult we cannot bear it. Where's God? Well, He's right there. At the passing of my father. If I didn't know the Lord, I would have had a difficult time with that. And if I had not had an opportunity to speak to Him about His salvation before He was gone, I would have really had a difficult time with that. I had waited so long that He could no longer speak. He could squeeze my hand, one or two squeezes, yes or no, or blink His eyes. That was it. But from that discussion and how the Lord worked that situation out, where everybody cleared out of the room but me and my wife, it was precious. And my daughter was there, I believe. I was like, "Lord, give me one more chance. One more chance." Because I knew He was going. And the Lord just opened the door and cleared the room. And He was cognizant enough. He had been in and out for hours and days, really. And He was cognizant and alert enough to answer me with blinking His eyes and squeezing my hand that He did know the Lord as His Savior. That was a situation in my life. If I had not used that opportunity, it would have impacted me the rest of my life. And that's just one circumstance. Look at the circumstances in your life where God has brought you to a difficult situation. Not just the passing of a loved one. Not just sickness. What about when your car breaks down on the side of the road? God knows when that car is going to break down. You ever had your UV joint break in the middle of a highway? Ours did. It just fell out of the car. And it's like, why won't the car move? And you get out and you look under the car and there's this big long pipe sitting under the car. It's like, well, that's not supposed to be like that. And somebody pulls up beside me and he's a mechanic. That's God. God will bring us to a place where we have to trust Him. How about running out of gas? Anybody ever run out of gas? I hate running out of gas. I'll fill it up at a half a tank so I don't run out of gas anymore. But I've run out of gas before in the middle of nowhere. And I don't have a gas can. This was back in Bible school, and I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do, where I'm going to find a gas can. And I'm walking, I was like, well, there was a used car lot down the road that we passed, just one of those, you know, on the side of the road, in the country road. I was like, I'll go back there and ask them. Well, it was closed. But guess what was behind the auto car lot? An empty gas can. So I borrowed that gas can and took it to the gas station and walked back to the car. Somebody stopped and gave me a ride back to my car, and I went right back, and they got gas in that gas can. It was behind their car lot. That's God. We have to trust God for what He puts us in and places us in. It's not for our demise. It's not for our distress. It's to increase our faith. And if we don't come through that trusting God, then we're going to have that lesson again. And the children of Israel right here, is God among us or not? Do you think Satan can use that lack of trust for his advantage? Oh, yes, he can. This lack of trust, this lack of faith in the abilities of God over man will build until a person begins to doubt God, till they distrust God and God's persons and men and women and brethren, and to the place where they become disillusioned about the things of God. We all know people that are no longer in church today. What has happened to them? They begin to distrust God. They began first to doubt God and His presence. Then they began to distrust God. And then they got to the point where they're just disillusioned about the whole religion thing, and I don't need it anymore. You go soul winning and knock on doors. Oh, I'm a preacher. Well, where do you go to church? Oh, I'm not in church anymore. Or I'm a Christian. Well, where do you go to church? I'm not in church anymore. Well, what happened? Come visit. Oh, no, I don't go to church anymore. They've come disillusioned with the things of God because Satan had a foothold, maybe really even a toehold in their lives. And it grew and grew and grew to now they're not even in church today. Is God here with us today? Well, the Bible says we're two or more gathered. He's in our midst. God is here today. Is He in your home? I pray He is. I pray you haven't shoved Him out of your home. Because He'll leave. He'll leave your home if you want Him to. Where a seed of doubt begins to form in the mind, it grows. Don't doubt God. Even in those hard things in life, don't doubt God. Romans 8 is still in the Bible. Was it Romans 8:28? It's all still in the Bible. We don't understand it, but God does. You know, the children of Israel may be even at this point where they're saying in verse 7, is the Lord among us or not? They might be saying, is Canaan real? Or is it make-believe? Are we really going to a promised land that we've just heard about? We've never been there. Our relatives have never been there. They've been in captivity for 400 years. None of them had ever been to the promised land. Is Canaan really there? Is it as beautiful as God has said it is? Is God really with us, or is this really just a sham? No, He's real. Today, He's real. He's the same God today as He was back in Exodus, back at creation, back before creation. He's the same God. He changes not. Every time we question, let's change that. Who are we to question God? Who are we to question Almighty God? When we question God, are we tempting Him? Are we murmuring and complaining against Him? Now, it's all right to say, Lord, I just don't understand this. That's okay. But when you say, Lord, why did you do this? You get to the point where you just become distrustful of God and doubting God and disillusioned with God, you've stepped over. Are we in opposition to God's Word with an attitude when we start questioning God? Do we have an attitude of indifference, an unbelief, distrust, trying? Are we trying God's patience? Well, the children of Israel did. Over and over again they tried His patience. And that brings God to a place where He's going to have to chastise His children, or He's going to have to judge them. Look at the book of Judges and what went on there. Every difficulty God permits us to encounter will become either a test that can make us better servants of the Lord, or if we choose to allow it to cause us to fall away. Every test will either make us a better servant, or we will choose to allow it to make us to fall away a little bit further from the Lord and from His work. If in unbelief we start complaining and blaming God, then this choice could rob us of opportunities to grow spiritually. But if we trust God and let Him have His way, this trial that we're facing will work for us and not against us and help us grow in grace and in faith. So what test of faith are you going through right now? What test of faith is coming in the next days, weeks, or months ahead? Will you trust in the provision of God, or are you going to use your limited abilities to try to get through it? Will you trust in the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent Creator of the world, or are you going to look to your frailty? There's no comparison. When faced with your next dilemma, and believe me, there will be a next, unless the rapture happens today. When faced with your next dilemma, will you say to man, "Give me water," or turn to God and pray for His deliverance? What are you going to do? God has brought us all to Rephidim many times in our life. And it means a resting place. God has brought them here to rest. And what do? The opposite. They fail the test. They're going to have to face it again. And of course, the miracle of God, He says, "Moses, take your rod and go out there and smite the rock one time." What flows forth from the rock? The water they needed. The sustenance of God. God didn't chastise them. Through His mercy, He provided just what they needed. And of course, we know the rock is Christ. And the smiting of the rock is the picture of the crucifixion. Through His finished work on the cross, we are His children. If we've accepted Him as our personal Savior, He is there for us all the time. All we have to do is call out to Him and trust Him. Lord, we love You. Oh, how we love You, Lord. You start thinking about the journey that You've brought us all through in the last weeks and months and years. We think about our lives and how You have always been there. Help us the next time we come to a situation where You have brought us to trust You. Help us not to look to the frailty of man, but to look to Your omnipotence. For we have the Creator of the world, the Creator of the universe, waiting for us to call upon Him. Help us to understand that a little bit, Lord, and to know You're right there waiting to hear from Your children. Bless the next hour, Lord. Bless the messages that will be preached and taught on this campuses at 11 o'clock. Open the hearts of the men and women, boys and girls that will be here to hear the Word of God. And allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to their hearts. Especially if they are not saved, convict them that they might get saved today. That is our earnest desire. I know it's Yours. Help us, Lord, to trust You today. In Jesus' name.